Good to be with you this morning. Sit on the front row here, and I said good morning to Steve, and he said break a leg. And I was thinking I'd kind of be hauled to the hospital right now rather than stand up here, so that might be a good deal. I shared this morning, and it's kind of hard for me to preach the same sermon over, so, it may not be exactly the same, but I would like to share an experience I had this morning. I was coming down the interstate, and I just got on the interstate, and this pickup went around me. It was pulling a duck hunting boat, I guess. It had all these tiki things all hanging off of it, and I've never been duck hunting. I don't know, do we have any duck hunters here? We had one in the early service, but no duck hunters. Okay, that's crazy. Why don't we duck hunt here? I don't know. Is there not a season in Missouri, or what is it? go other places, and it's just one of those things that people do. They duck hunt. But anyway, when this guy went around me, he was mowing the dew, and as he got around me, he had three outboard motors on that boat. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what it means to go duck hunting, but you must really need to get there fast, because what do you need that kind of power for? And I just was thinking as I was watching him go, you know, how much we want to be the best and have the greatest and have all of these things. And so many times in life, that's not exactly what God wants for us. And, you know, I think this sermon really is for me, first of all, but it's for us to really see what God wants to do in and through us as we open up His Word and as we really allow His Spirit to speak to us and to move us and to form and shape us into what He wants us to be. Before we get into the Scripture today, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your great love. We thank You for the blessings of life and just the joy that we have in allowing You to speak to us, Lord. And I pray, God, Lord, I plead with You for myself and for these that are here, that our hearts could be open and responsive to You. God, this morning is about You and Your Word, and about really changing our lives so that we might see the great need out there in the world of people seeing Christ in us and having victory over sin. And I pray, Father, that You would reveal these things to our hearts as we come just seeking You anew and afresh. I thank You for each one that's here, Lord, and I know that just the struggles of coming this morning with the impending ice storm and all that's going on, but I pray that You bless them for venturing out and for coming to hear Your word spoken. We just thank You, Lord, for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to thank some people that don't always get thanked, but just thinking about the guys in the sound booth, it's really a blessing to have them come and serve faithfully in that position. Without them, you know, we just couldn't do what is done here on stage. I want to thank Miriam for playing the piano and for the other pianists. You know, it's just a it's not an easy task to play. I can't play the piano, but it's not an easy task to do that every Sunday and to be ready, always ready. And then Debbie for stepping in at the last moment. And it's just, you know, such a blessing for the special music this morning. Katie, I thank you for that song. And Hannah for the children's sermon. You know, all of these things, we just take them for granted. And sometimes we don't thank people enough for all that they do. Evan was here at 7 o'clock this morning, nervous about church and all of these things, and thank of responsibility and, you know, and all of that. It's just a blessing to have these people working in our church, and I hope you count it as a great joy. Now, this morning we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. I will try to not move around too much. I don't want to make you dizzy, but I'm used to kind of moving back and forth, and I'll try not to do that too much. Starting with verse 21 in Romans chapter 7, before we begin the scripture, I would like to say that if you haven't studied Romans chapter 7, it just seems like Paul is in an argument with himself almost, and it's that inner struggle that we all have. And if you read it, I don't know about you, I'm not very good with the English language. That's why I never took Greek or Hebrew or anything like that, because, you know, I didn't know enough English to do that. But anyway, whenever you read this, it's just like you get tongue-tied just trying to read it. I've tried to read it in public. I preached a sermon on one time, and man, I studied it, and I rehearsed it, and I went over and read the scripture over and over again until I thought that I knew it, and I got in the pulpit, and the words was like I'd never seen them before. I mean, it's just, that's the way Romans chapter 7 is. It just really is, and I've not really ever heard anybody, except for one time I did hear a guy take that and just articulate it and make it so clear, and it was such a blessing, but I've not really heard anybody else just really take Romans chapter 7 and the argument, the inner struggle that's going on with Paul's life, and to really do a great job. But here in verse 21 it begins, I didn't read the rest of it because I do get tongue-tied, but we're going to begin in verse 21. It says, I find then a law that evil is present with me. And you know, this is an amazing statement that that Paul is making here. That, and it's hard for us, some of us as Christians, you know, and some of us have been saved a long time, and some of us have worked very diligently in the church, and we've done lots of different jobs there, and we tried to serve the Lord, and it's hard for us to say that I find in my life, in my body, in my being, that there is evil present with me. But we're talking about Paul here. And Paul is somebody that in the church we hold in high esteem. I mean, man, to be like Paul would be great. I mean, to be able to just to go and to serve the way that Paul served in the church, and how he went from town to town and began churches and all the things. And we hold him in high regard and high esteem, and the gospels that he wrote. I mean, it's just amazing to us to read the letters of Paul and to just feel what he felt, and to see him, the times he said that he was beaten and persecuted and stoned and all of these things. We've seen one of them this morning in our Sunday school lesson. And yet we see this inner struggle in Paul, and he says he just finds that it's hard to believe that there's evil present in him. He said, I find then a law that evil is present with me. And it's just like a shocking statement next. It says, the one who wills to do good. He said, in his heart, and in my life, in his heart, in our lives, we want to do what is right. We want to do what is pleasing to God. And yet there's this constant struggle. There's this battle going on with us. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I don't know about you, just to make this personal, you know, I struggle with the things of the flesh all the time. So much about preaching is a time of confession, a time of trying to get my heart right so that we can expound on the Word of God. But I struggle with these sins all the time. I mentioned this in the early service, and I mentioned the sin of pride, struggling with the sin of pride. And one of the guys said on his way out, he said, I never knew that you had pride. Well, you know, we don't want to broadcast that, do we? We don't really want people to know that we have pride in our lives and we struggle with pride. And I don't blame him. I from where he's standing and looking back into my life, I would think, well, there's nothing there to be prideful about anyway. So... But I had to admit to him, you know, we wrecked that truck back in June or so. And I really think that the root of that, I really prayed and asked God why, you know, this happened to us. Why did all of these things transpire? And Lisa and I have talked about it. And we really have talked about how at the root of all of it's a sin of pride. This is a real struggle that goes on in our lives. It's not easy to stand before you today and to admit that I have sin of pride in my life. But I'm not just going to point the fingers at me, because you have sins just like that too. Paul had them. We struggle with these things, sins of the flesh. It's a shock as a Christian to really realize, to be mirrored from the Word of God, that we have these sins in us. And we, like Paul, we think, I want to do what's good. Why do I keep struggling with this? I want to do what's good. And it says in verse 22, it says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. And you've been there, you've done that, you've studied the Word of God, you've struggled in certain places, and you've got to the point where you just open up God's Word and say, Lord, I just need your refreshing right now. I need your power right now. I need your love to surround me and to help me, Lord, through these struggles. It says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Man, that inward man, that new creation that's in us, that new nature that's in us, it hungers for the Word of God. We delight in it. I've shared this many times, but when I first started thinking that God was calling me into the ministry, Mom and Dad had given me a whole bunch of Adrian Rogers tapes, and as I was working around the house there, I'd plug one of those tapes in and listen to the Word of God preached and expounded on over and over and over again through the tremendous ministry of Adrian Rogers. And just hungered for it. I mean, just had a deep, unabiding hunger for the Word of God. Paul says, I delight in the law of God. Do you delight in God's law today? I know I haven't always had that hunger. I haven't always had that drive. I haven't always been in that place where God wants me to be as far as reading and studying His Word. But he goes on in verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my mind and bringing me into the captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. Man, that old struggle is real. Tim Wilson once shared that he would a lot rather see somebody that's struggling with sin than somebody that's given up and given in to it. You see, if we're not struggling with this, then we're just yielding to that sin. We're just embracing the sin. We're just telling God, I can't do this. I don't believe you can do this. I'm just going to give in and go ahead and sin. God's Word said that we shouldn't do that. It said, God forbid that we do that. Verse 23 again, it says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. In verse 24, it goes on to say, O wretched man that I am. O wretched man that I am. O wretched person that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Can you imagine the flesh? The Bible says that the flesh leads to death, but the Spirit leads to everlasting life. Can you imagine if you had to drag around a dead person with you all of your life? This is the analogy that we have, is being strapped to a dead person. The dead, decaying flesh of a dead person. And having to drag that around. And that's what it's like to be outside of the will of God and allowing sin to be prevalent in your life and to give up in the struggle is to allow that old nature, that old man, to keep rising its ugly head until it wins. What a downer this is to think about. We're talking about to Christians here. Whenever you study the book of Romans, it's kind of broke down like this, but in Romans chapter 1 through 3, you find out the personage of God and God the Creator, and we learn about all of the things pertaining to the Godhead figure, to God as Lord. And whenever you get to chapters 4 through chapter 7, which we're studying here, you learn about salvation that you can have through Jesus Christ. And that's the point that we're at where he says, oh, wretched man that I am. And he's talking to a saved person here in this part of the book. He's talking to the saved. Oh, wretched person that I am. Man, when I got saved, I thought it was going to be in the pie sky, you know, all of that. And it's going to be easy and I'm going to be victorious and I'm going to live in joy and peace and I'm going to have the love of God always in my heart. And it just wasn't that way. It's not because of Jesus that it wasn't that way. It was because of me. I was talking to a friend before service. We was talking about somebody that was going to Southwest Baptist College, well, university now, but I said, I went there until they asked me to leave. I mean, I was in college and Bible school, studying the Word of God, and sin overtook me. A wretched person that I am. I mean, can you imagine the great privilege of being able to go to a university and study the Word of God? All of the support and love that you could possibly imagine. And allowing sin to come back in and take that away. That's my testimony. What about yours? Now, you can look at me and say, well, I'm way better than that, I know. But each one of you is dealing with the same kind of struggles that I dealt with. A wretched person that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I was saved. I knew Jesus. But I allowed sin to come back in. I allowed sin to influence my life. I allowed sin to take away the most precious things that was going on for me at that time. That's what sin wants to do. Pretty doom and gloom, isn't it? Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. I mean, Paul struggled throughout Romans chapter 7. And he comes to the last final words and he's still in the struggle. He says, with my mind, I want to do what is right. But with the flesh, I'm still struggling. With my mind, I want to serve God. With the flesh, I'm still serving sin. Do you see what's going on in his life? Do you see the battle? Do you see the struggle? Do you feel the struggle? Do you guys experience this struggle? I won't tell you. Be honest here. But if you don't, that means you've given up. That means you've settled. That means you surrendered to the sin. You're either struggling or you've given up. Paul, or you're better than Paul, I guess. Okay? I'm so thankful that Paul didn't leave it there. Because if you leave it there, I'd be better off in the hospital with a broken leg, right? If you leave it there, it seems hopeless. If you leave it there, it's despair. If you leave it there, it seems like none of us have an opportunity to ever serve God in any capacity. But chapter 8 talks about the Holy Spirit and being sanctified by Him. God wants to use you. God wants to bring you to His fullest potential. God wants to lift us up out of the muck and the mire of sin and set us free. Chapter 8 says in verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I've confessed here this morning way more than I intended to confess, way more than I did in the early service, about my struggle with sin. I want to ask you this morning, what's your struggle with sin? I want to ask you, are you living back in Romans chapter 7 where you're just constantly battling with this and you can't get free from it? Or are you living in chapter 8 where Paul declared, there is therefore now no condemnation to you who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the flesh, or according to the Spirit, not the flesh. Paul goes on to write, for the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. I mean, he set us free. You see, the key is it's the flesh is weak and we all struggle with it. We're in the flesh. We're walking here in this flesh and blood body. And until we get to heaven, we're going to be walking in the flesh. And so we're always going to have this struggle. But the key is that it's not about me. Okay? It's about Jesus. It's about what He has done. We talked about the blood this morning as we sang the songs, and Debbie apologized for having the blood in the music and because it wasn't Communion Sunday and all of those things. And we decided that there's never a bad time to sing about the blood of Christ. It's because of the precious blood of Jesus. It's because He was so willing to go to the cross to die for my sins that I can have this victorious. That's why there's no condemnation. It's because of Christ Jesus and what He has done in me. That is in my body. I can be defeated by sin, but I can be alive in Christ. I can be brought down by the burden of this old dead flesh that I carry around, but I can be set free by the power of God through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood for me. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. You see, the Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster. What you find out whenever you try to fulfill the law, what you find out when you try to obey the letter of the law. I mean, just look at the top 10 commandments here. Look at number 1. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy spirit. Have you fulfilled that law? I don't think there's anybody here that can say beyond a shadow of doubt that they've loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their spirit. You can't do it because there's times when I love myself more than I love the law of God. There's more the Lord my God. There's times whenever I put myself first rather than putting Him first. And whenever we do that, we say, I don't love God as much as I love me. So if we fail on the first commandment, we've broken all the commandments. We've failed to live according to the law. But hallelujah, we don't have to. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, now you've heard of the Romans Road. That's kind of what I'm going down right now. But the Romans Road in Paul's day said that all roads led to Rome. So I don't know. But the Romans Road says, for in while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for me. And the end of the road is where you find salvation when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, for what the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh. That's that old nature, that old sinful struggle. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, here's where the liberty is. Here's where the freedom is. Here's where the victory is. Here's where the joy comes from. When we realize I can't do it, and we know that He can. Not only that He can, but that He has, that He did, that He will. He paid it all. He gave it all up. He become our righteousness. That means He become our right to go to God. I've said here that this verse, chapter 7 or whatever, in chapter 8 is for the Christian, those who are in Christ. It's talking about that struggle that goes on there. But we have to understand also that we have to come to Christ before we can get to that place. There has to be a point of decision. There has to be a place, a point in your life where you said, I need to be saved. Where you knew in your heart that without the Lord Jesus in your life, that you would die and go to an eternal hell. And that's the only way that you can begin this victorious walk with Christ. I know it didn't sound very victorious in chapter 7 because the sins of flesh brought us down. It's filled with despair. But the victory is because we're not condemned by Jesus Christ. We're set free. The victory is that we can have life everlasting when we cry out to Him. This morning in Sunday school, we learned about the Philippian jailer. And Paul and Silas was in jail, and they were singing praises and hymns. And all of a sudden, the earthquake came, and it opened up the doors and loosed the shackles. And the jailer thought they'd all escape, and he was going to kill himself. And all of a sudden, Paul said, don't kill yourself. Don't do no harm to yourself, because we're all here. Amazing story. But because of that story, that Philippian jailer is in heaven. Because he ran in and he said, what must I do to be saved? Wow. Have you said that in your life? Have you been confronted with your sin in such a way that you have cried out to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? You know, and there is so much of the gospel that needs to be heard. But it's the gospel that is about the convicting power of the Holy Spirit at work in your heart, bringing you to Christ. Have you ever humbled yourself and cried out to God and say, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever come to the place in your life where you know you need a Savior? I know I've shared this probably every time I've spoken, but this guy was 8 years old, sitting in a church service. He was preaching about hell. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And the Holy Spirit told me that if I died at that moment, I'd go to that place that preacher's talking about. You can sit there and you can say, you know, we shouldn't scare kids out of hell. We shouldn't preach like that and scare them. I'm so thankful that that preacher chose to preach that message that night. So thankful that for once I turned away from sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation unto those who are in Christ Jesus. As we have our hymn of invitation, and I want to tell you just a little bit about what an invitation is. I think a lot of times I felt this when I was a pastor, that a lot of times we don't share with the congregation because sometimes there's people that don't know what it's really all about. They see people coming forward. They don't really know why they're going forward. But whenever the gospel's being preached, whenever the power of God is at work in a service, we have to respond. When the gospel penetrates your heart, you must respond. You either respond by getting up when it's over and walking out the door, Or you respond by coming to the altar and getting right with God. You respond by sitting in your pew and saying, maybe next time. There's lots of ways to respond to the Lord. But you think about this. The Creator of the universe, God the Creator of the universe, loves you enough that He speaks to your heart through His Word and asks you to come and respond to Him. We're going to have this hymn of invitation as soon as I pray. And if God is dealing with your heart this morning, whether you've been struggling with sin and you need to get right with God, or maybe you've never come to Jesus and you need to come and ask Him into your heart, ask Jesus into your heart. Maybe you just need to come and pray for a friend. But whenever we have this hymn of invitation, this altar is for you. The pastor is for you to come to speak with, to come and get right with God, to come and to pray. And so as we have this hymn of invitation, I want you to know that it's open.